following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Tuesdays on the Huge Show across Michigan are brought to you by the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Book your getaway today at SoaringEagleCasino.com and also download the Eagle Access app. And they now have live sports wagering inside the Ascend Sportsbook and Nightclub inside Soaring Eagle in Mount Pleasant. And if you want to get an update and buy tickets to all the great indoor shows, find out about the promotions and the giveaways, go to SoaringEagleCasino.com and download that Eagle Access app. Tuesdays on the Huge Radio Network are presented by the incredible Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Happy Tuesday. It's a huge show on a Tuesday afternoon brought to you by the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant. Dan Hasty in for Bill Simonson. I've got you today and tomorrow. It's a chock full Tuesday and Wednesday. Coming up tomorrow, Dan Miller will join us. We'll also hear from Max Boltman of The Athletic. Tarek Skubal of the Detroit Tigers will be on with us a little later here in this hour. We'll hear from Mark Montgomery, the new head coach at the University of Detroit Mercy for men's basketball. We got to talk a little Detroit Lions, though, because for most of my adult life, and for that matter, my young life, draft weekend was always the most hopeful weekend of Lions fandom. Nothing could quite rival Hope Springs Eternal for football fans that did the weekend of the NFL draft. And constantly, especially every couple of years, there was always some moment that seemingly derailed that feeling. And I think it was pretty obvious as we looked around the NFL that if you had one really good draft class, you could put yourself and your franchise in a position maybe to make themselves a playoff team. If you had two consecutive really good draft classes, all of a sudden, you were a borderline contender. If you had three really good draft classes, now you're a Super Bowl contender. Well, that's where Brad Holmes has put the Detroit Lions. This is rarefied air. This is something that we have not seen in most of our lifetimes, right? We just haven't had this. And it is almost like, because it hasn't happened, there really is an element of in Brad we trust, right? Now, we understand that there can be optimal and suboptimal moves, but again, as long as those moves work out, regardless of whether they are ideal or less than ideal, who cares? You're talking to Matt Kelly of Player Profiler in the first hour. And he was shredding the taking of Jahmyr Gibbs with the 12th overall pick. And I get the idea of why you don't take a running back with the number 12 overall pick. And I think mainly that comes from the idea that you can get a David Montgomery to run efficiently behind a great offensive line. You don't need Jahmyr Gibbs to do that. But look at how well, how they've built that line to do it. And look at how well they've woven that plan into the fabric of their identity. And see, and that's what people like that don't understand. That's their identity. And that's what it says in that locker room and on that wall. My next guest understands that as good as anybody, because my next guest is one of the best ambassadors and one of my favorite ambassadors of Detroit Lions football. I recently got the chance to meet him for the first time at Little Caesars Arena. It was my job to help him find food, and I took that job seriously. When you think of people who have been through the ups and downs of the Detroit Lions, you think of Lomas Brown. He joins us here on the Huge Show across Michigan. Lomas, great to have you, and what a scene it was in Detroit over the weekend.
Oh, my goodness, man. It was one word to describe it would be epic. It was just an epic scene to see all the people that were down, that came downtown to participate in the draft. Over 700,000 people over the 3 days that it was down there. And, man, you just seen the sea of honolulu blue and silver throughout that crowd that was there. And it's just amazing what Detroit did as a city to put that show on. And I told everybody, now it shouldn't be a hard sell to sell Detroit anymore. People from the outside got a chance to witness Detroit. It shouldn't be a hard sell to get us to get anything we want. I want the Olympics here. I'm shooting for it all. Let's get the Olympics.
Why do you think 700,000 people showed up to an NFL draft in Detroit? Why so many more than other cities?
Well, first of all, I like to give the Lions a lot of credit for the season that they had. I think by them having the great season that they had, I think that kind of kept the ball rolling. And right behind the season, you know, you have the draft that comes in. So I just think the momentum from the Lions season is part of the reason. And I just think it's here. I just think it's here in Michigan. I think it's the region that we're in. I just think where we're located at, it's easy for people to get here. I think because we got Canada right next door to us, 5 minutes away, people that get to enjoy the international flavor, too. So it's just so much to do here in Michigan. And like I say, man, we showed up as a fan base and showed out.
Somebody recently said to me that their whole life, all they ever wanted was a general manager who would wheel and deal all the way through the draft. I guess they finally got what they wanted.
Hey, we did, and we do, man. And Brad, we trust. I mean, this guy's just phenomenal. Now, you're going to scratch your head about certain things that he does, but in the end, it's going to make sense to you. Because, again, I think our third pick, the running back slash safety slash kick returner, you know, it was kind of a head scratching, especially after the year that Jahmyr Gibbs had and the year that David Montgomery had going over 1,000 yards. Like I say, with Brad, you know he has a master plan on how they want to use him. The great thing that we do know about this young man is that he's a football player, because that's all Dan Campbell, that's all Brad Holmes, that's all they bring in here is football players. So we do know that about him. He has some grit to him, and he's a tough guy.
And you know what? He's unique. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but I like unique skill sets. And that's what that particular player was. And if nothing else, it just shows that in that case, he's a very unique, dynamic player. And in the case of the other kid, the big offensive lineman from Canada, it just goes to show that they're doing their homework. And regardless of whether or not that you like that pick or not, they're doing their homework and they're trying to take a swing for a home run. And I like that.
Yes, and it has to be a fit, too. That's the thing I take away from Brad Holmes' press conferences. The player has to be a fit in what they're trying to get accomplished. I go back to the tackle that they took out of LSU, and Brad said it was a certain way that he pass rushed. It's a fit. They are looking for that certain type of way that guy pass rushes to fit in with the rest of those guys there. So I'm quite sure each and every draft pick, not only do they have to be the right person, right player, but they have to be the right fit for this team that's trying to get a Super Bowl in 2024.
Lomas Brown joins us. It feels like we know what the offense will be capable of next season. A lot of familiar faces coming back. But the defense, what can that look like next season? Because there's a lot of new faces coming in over there.
Yeah, so I think the quickest way to help those new faces coming in on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the secondary, is to beef up your front line and beef up your pass rush. We know that the secondary and your pass rush are tied together. They're hip to hip. They're tied at the hip. So, again, if he keeps beefing up that front line, DJ Reader bringing him in, like I say, drafting the young kid out of LSU, us continuing to let a lean McNeil flourish, hopefully some of the guys like Levi Onwuzurike and Josh Pascal, hopefully those guys can stay healthy and keep improving. John Kaminsky. You know, if those guys, James Houston, if those guys continue to get better up front, then that's just going to help out that young secondary. Because we do have some young guys back in that secondary, but we have some talented guys. So they're just tired at the hip, man. So I think Brad and them are looking in the right direction, looking in the right place to beef up that defensive side of the ball, and that's up front.
Speaking of the defense, were you on the Terrion Arnold train before that pick was announced, and what was your reaction? Was your reaction like the 700,000 people in attendance that night?
Yes, it was. I wasn't on that train before the pick. I admit to that. But once they made that pick, it made full sense to me. I agreed 110% with that pick because, again, that was one of the glaring areas that we needed to improve. Yeah, and you know what it is? If you think about what Brad and them are doing, which I agree with, they're bringing in competition. So even the guys you signed as free agents, your Carlton Davis III, the other guys that you brought in already in free agents, these guys know you're sending a message to all these guys that this is open competition and this is real open competition. Sometimes you say that and it's not really met. You know, you say that to kind of get guys motivated. But I think now, other than Carlton Davis, the third, I think it's real competition back there for who's going to be lining up in our secondary next year.
And obviously they needed corners, and of course they also needed some guards because they brought back Graham Glasgow. They brought in Kevin Zietler. These were shorter deals, and this is your area of expertise. They, of course, drafted a couple of guys, and Giovanni Manu, they drafted the kid in the sixth round. And of course, these are kids, especially in Manu's case. So I thought it was interesting because there's talk of already moving him into a guard spot. But everyone's saying that he's a big project. There's a lot of development that's going to go along with him. Being somebody that was a guard primarily in the league, if you're moving from tackle over to guard, how much work and how much is going to go into that development for him? What's his learning curve going to look like?
Yeah, you know, and I was the opposite, so I was a tackle, but they moved me. I got moved into the guard position at the University of Florida, and oh my God, I lasted there maybe a week. I had to get out of there, man. Things were happening so fast in the guard position. And think about it, you have to have your head on the swivel all the time because you get guys coming from either side, straight ahead on you at the guard position. And like I say, things happen so much faster because the guys are right on top of you. Whereas the tackle position, you got a little time. You got a little time to kick set back. You got a little separation between you and the defensive end. Now, the biggest problem at the tackle position is that if you get beat, that's it. Guard position, you could have some help from the center or maybe even the tackle. Tackle normally don't have any help unless they line a tight end up over there. So, you know, that's the biggest difference. I think for him, being 6'7", 6'8", it's going to be leverage. And that's the biggest thing, one of the big things. He's going to have to work on leverage in his hands, getting his hands up quickly on those guys because, again, things happen so much faster on the inside than it does on the outside at the tackle position.
Well, you got to be talented to play all those spots on the line like you did. Christian Mahogany, by the way, that other guard they took in the sixth round out of Boston College. I'm not sure how familiar with that you are with the series Ted Lasso, but I've always felt like Dan Campbell is football's version of Ted Lasso, a guy that all of his players rally around. He also has great assistants. How surprised were you when Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn both came back this offseason?
Wasn't surprised. Love Ted Lasso. He also has that quirky way to him, too. But it gets things done. Dan kind of has that quirky way to him, too. You know what I'm saying? And it's getting things done. And it's from the respect factor. I think when your players respect you, especially Dan Campbell, knowing that he's setting those same blockers when he played in the league, I think that bode well for him. And I also think it gives Aaron Glenn, and I think it gives Ben Johnson the opportunity to get their feet up under them. You know, sometimes coaches aren't ready to move on. You know, sometimes they still need to be seasoned some more. And I think, again, with Ben Johnson being so young, with Aaron Glenn being so young in the game, I think those guys wanted to take their time, make sure they got their footing up under them before they ventured off into, you know, becoming head coaches, because this might be a one-shot deal. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime type of situation you're going into. You definitely want to make the best of it. So I'm not shocked. I think it's actually a smart move on those guys' part.
What's left on the to-do list this offseason?
What's left? I think that signed Jared Goff. I think that's the thing that they have to do. You want to solidify that as soon as possible, man. You want to make sure that your leader, you know, your quarterback is signed and he's happy. And, you know, for them to take care of Amon, take care of Penei Sewell, that's great right there. But they definitely have to be looking to try to take care of Jared.
Lomas Brown, one last thing on the draft, and to kind of bring this all full circle, and just the scene in Detroit. Can you believe that we're here organizationally with the Ford family? I'm dying to know how it's been explained to you, just how they've made it right. Whether it's somebody like yourself or Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson, it is clear that they, this family, have become self-aware, and that just as big as anything else, they've become self-aware being a reason that this entire franchise has changed. What have you seen? What have you been made aware of?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think Sheila Hamp Ford gets as much credit as she deserves. I really think she deserves a lot more credit than she gets for doing what she did, for handing over the organization to a Rod Wood, bringing in a Chris Spielman, Rod Wood, Chris Spielman, and them bringing in Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, and changing the whole culture. We knew what the culture of the Lions was before this year. It was same old Lions. You know, for you to come in and for them to change the culture that's been around here for 30-some-odd years, to change it in a couple of years, man, she has to be ecstatic about where this team is right now, where this team is going to go, how the fans have responded to this team. It's just been amazing. So, like I said, I think the draft was just a tip of the cap. That really just kind of finished off everything and just kind of put an exclamation point on this season. But they're looking farther ahead. They're looking to, like Sheila Hamp Ford say, she's looking forward to hosting the Lombardi Trophy. And I think that's their goal and what they're trying to get accomplished this year.
Well, if they keep doing what they're doing, I think they've got a pretty good shot. Lomas Brown, what do you think of the jerseys, by the way?
I love the jerseys, man, because, again, another Chris Spielman, you know, influence in there. You can see the old school. I love that they kept a lot of the old school in the jerseys. My favorite uniform was our throwback uniform. I love playing in those uniforms. Mostly all the guys I played with back in the 90s, we loved that uniform. So I'm really happy they paid homage to the guys back in the 90s, the guys before us, and kept it simple, man. I love it.
Well, I'm sure they got one waiting for you. Lomas Brown, one of the great Detroit Lions. Great to talk to you. Can't wait to do it again soon. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. Good talking to you.
That is Lomas Brown of the Detroit Lions and the Detroit Lions Radio Network. Stick around. We got much more to come up here on a Tuesday edition of The Huge Show. Coming up next, we'll talk college basketball. The new head coach at the University of Detroit Mercy, Mark Montgomery, will join us next. Tuesdays are brought to you by the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant.
From St. Joseph to Midland, this show is huge.
April showers brought May flowers and so much more to Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Winnings are in bloom every Friday in May. Every hour from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., two lucky guests will have the chance to pick a flower from the bouquet of premium play. Your next win is only a petal away. You could win up to $2,000 in premium play. Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, your getaway reimagined. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state. And Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's DoreNMayhew or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Make sure you listen weekly to our Moving Ferris Forward interviews with Ferris President Bill Pink and other leaders who are moving Ferris forward. Find out more about Big Rapids and Ferris and what they have to offer at ferris.edu.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
It's The Huge Show on a Tuesday afternoon. Tuesdays are brought to you by the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant. If you want to jump in, 1-866-838-HUGE, 1-866-838-4843. I'm Dan Hasty. I'm in for Bill Simonson. And now it's my pleasure to check in with the new head coach at the University of Detroit Mercy. He is Mark Montgomery. Coach Monty, it is good to catch up. What is good at 9 Mile in Livernois, my friend?
We're busy over here recruiting, Dan. I can tell you that right now.
I know you are. Help me navigate your situation, my friend. What's going on?
Hey, I'm just excited. I know it's a lot of recruiting going over here at University of Detroit Mercy, and it's graduation next week. We just get out of finals. We're looking forward to May and June to get these guys back on campus, get them back working.
So take me through it. You get introduced as head coach earlier this month, and you've been a head coach before. Not too many people have had that experience before. You had it at Northern Illinois, where you were for 10 years, by the way. How does that experience help you fine-tune this one?
Well, I had to already maneuver through waters that other coaches haven't. I know I had to hit the ground running. I had to hire a staff. I had to talk to the players, work the players out here, figure who's coming, who's leaving, who's staying. Got to do scheduling right away, figure out who we're playing with opponents next year. So after you've done it one time, you've been there and done it, but it's still exciting. It's getting the staff, finding players, but this time around, I have to maneuver through the transfer portal, which wasn't there. I know my first time when players I got to transfer, they had to sit out. This time they're going to be immediately eligible, and you always have to deal with that name, image, and likeness deal.
And how different is dealing with that now? Because, I mean, you were an assistant last at Michigan State, and I know that there was only so much dabbling into the transfer portal while you were there with Tom Izzo, but, you know, at mid-majors, there's a lot more that happens with that, right?
Right, it's a lot of movement. You know, you have Division I guys transfer, you got Division II guys that had unbelievable careers and put up numbers, so you're looking at that. Division III, NAIA, you have junior college players. So we didn't look at many of those at Michigan State, but I always had my eye on different players as I recruited. So it's just a different landscape. Exciting, but it's different. You have to change with times, and you can build a roster a lot faster now. But at the same time, it is still good high school players out there that's available that we're looking at too.
Are you still trying to work the Detroit angles? I know there's some kids on, you know, at least in your mind's eye that you hope that you can pull from the city proper, or at least from suburban Detroit, that you can make kind of part of this fabric that is Detroit Mercy. Is that still something that you're trying to set out to do?
No doubt about it. We're always going to start with when I say inside the city or inside of, you know, an hour and a half from campus. To me, that's homegrown Michigan. We want to build our roster with Michigan players, but also expanding where I do have recruiting ties nationally and bringing the best talent we can and the best fit we can to play here at University of Detroit Mercy.
What's it like when you get elevated into a head coaching spot in terms of people reaching out to you saying, hey, I got a kid at this school. Hey, I got somebody over here. Take a look at this tape. I mean, how many people are texting you and hitting you up, asking you to look at this, that, and the other one's tape?
Well, it's funny. After my press conference, my phone was spinning. The last time that thing was spinning is when we were headed to a Final Four when I was at Michigan State. So that's a good sign. But that means everyone has a player. Now you got to get back to them. You know, so it doesn't matter if it's high school, if it's a Division I transfer. And at the same time, people are calling me to be on staff. So I have to maneuver who wants to be on staff, who has a player, or who's just reaching out to congratulate me on being hired here. So it's a lot of phone calls. And then, of course, I have a family, so you have to keep them happy too.
What can you tell us about your roster build right now in the state of your program?
I felt like John Calipari when we went to Arkansas. All of a sudden they said, well, you know, you talked to the team. When I talked to the team, it was at least 10 players in the locker room. I heard he had 3 players. But we've had some guys in the transfer portal. It's going to be a lot of new faces. The best way to say it here at Detroit Mercy, where we do have some players coming back, but at the same time, we're looking for a fresh start. We're looking for guys that are hungry. We're looking for guys that are willing to sacrifice. And we're looking for guys that want to be winners and put that time in. So I know later on this week, I wish it was in 2 days or tomorrow, I can announce that I can tell you we have 4 guys that's already signed national letters of intent. We're just waiting for the ink to dry, and you'll hear about and read about big things coming in the next couple of days here at Detroit Mercy.
I've already seen a couple things start to trickle in. So these guys, you know, this school, you know, the record is well known among mid-major circles. They went 1-31 last year, but in some ways, it's an underdog story, and that in and of itself. You can sell. Agree or disagree?
No, I agree. You know, it's only one way we can go. In my mind, that's up. Another thing is student athletes or recruits are looking for opportunities to play right away. We are two leading scorers, one in the portal, who averaged 20 and 15 points. And you could come in and you could score that ball, and you could put big numbers up, and you can help us win, and you can help yourself be very successful. So it's the one thing that we have. You're going to have an energetic, high motor, high energy, high effort coach that's going to value player relationships, but at the same time, player development. And guys are going to have a chance to play right away, and that's all kids want to do is be on the floor playing. So we could definitely get that here.
Talking to Mark Montgomery, the new head coach at Detroit Mercy for men's basketball, talk to me about player relationships. What does it take in today's climate, especially with name, image, and likeness, and everyone competing for playing time and parents and everything? What does it take to connect to today's student athlete?
Well, I think you have to just be real, and that's what you kind of you have to sell yourself, you have to sell your vision, but it takes time. As in, I have that every day. My office doors are open. You're down at individual workouts. You're in the weight room spending time with them. You're going out to have lunch, stopping over at their apartment. So some coaches have a lot of it, some don't. I just prioritize that I'm going to be there for the players. If it's a text, if it's a phone call, if it's taking interest in what they're trying to do with their life, I think that's what kids appreciate. So you have to definitely be there and by their side, and they can feel it right away. I've had good responses from guys where I know that it was a Sunday, and a kid told me that he's working out at 8 a.m. on Monday. I'm in Detroit. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. To me, it was just effort and time to drive down there. And I think he just vibed off my energy and my stick-to-itness to get down there and watch him work out. Can the campus, great things happen. So those are the things that student athletes are looking for within a head coach and a staff.
You know, what's so interesting is that one of the things that has hurt Detroit Mercy in the last handful of years is that they've had these transfer kids that have played at three and four schools over the last two and three seasons. And it comes down to, I think one of the things that I think that the school could have used over the last couple of years is kids that could really emotionally invest and be able to do the little things to help the school win. So in terms of finding kids of high character and people that really you could build a program around, how important is that for you? I mean, in terms of culture building, where does that lay down on a foundational level for you, especially in your first year?
Well, you got to have some balance. You know, you can't just take all third and fourth year guys that they're just renting months. You know, I think you always have to have a steady dose of, you have a freshman class. You do have some sophomores. So now, as long as they stay here, they are invested. They have given their time. They know the lead. They know the community. They want to give back. And when you have too many transfers, where it's just 1 or 2 years, especially just a one-year guy, I always say he's kind of just renting the facilities for less than 12 months, and it's more about him other than it's more about the school. We're going to start playing for the university on the front of our jersey and not the name on the back.
Mark Montgomery, cannot wait to see how it all comes together once October and November rolls around. I know you got a lot of practice time from now until then, but can't wait for how it all pulls itself together. Can't wait to see you soon. Coach Monty, thank you very much for spending some time with us. Appreciate your time.
All right, Dan. Thanks for having me on, man. Looking forward to it.
He is the new head coach at the University of Detroit Mercy, and he is Mark Montgomery. Stick around, much more to come here on a Tuesday edition of The Huge Show. We've got much more to come on the other side of this timeout. Tarik Skubal, the Detroit Tigers ace, will join us next here on the Tuesday Huge Show.
Huge 24/7 at thehugeshow.net.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here for Van Andel Institute Purple Community. Now, they're a grassroots fundraising network powered by the volunteers who support VAI's mission to improve health now and in the future. Learn more at purplecommunity.org.
Hey, Michigan, let's go big. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking real big-time winning on the hottest slots and table games on one incredible app. Eagle Casino and Sports.
Sign up now and get up to $1,500. That's right. We'll match your deposit for up to $1,500, and you'll get 100 free spins.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000, and you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back. It is The Huge Show as we roll along here. Who better to talk to about what the Detroit Tigers have been able to get off to a phenomenal start here in 2024, the start that everybody had been hoping this team would get off to this season. Then their ace, Tarek Skubal, joins us now. Tarek, thank you very much for joining us, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's an exciting time right now to be a Tigers fan, and it's so much fun. The payoff for this team who have been waiting so long, these fans who have been waiting so long, and they've been waiting to see it, and they've been watching you kind of bring this all to fruition. How satisfying has this been for you?
Yeah, I think, obviously off to a good start. We haven't got off to a good start in the last couple of years, and kind of puts you behind the eight ball, and you got to kind of scratch and claw just to get back to 500. So it's good to be, four games over right now, and, carry that momentum and to, finish this month strong, obviously, and then right into next month.
What has it been like for you guys? I mean, the electricity of the home games. I mean, you start the season off, you go on that big run at Chicago and then against the Mets. And then, of course, you come home for the home opener. You're on the mound. I mean, imagine, take me back to opening day and the electricity that you were able to experience.
Yeah, I mean, it truly is like a holiday here in Detroit. Are you talking about home opener or opening day?
You can take me through either opener you prefer, but I know there's also nothing like the home opener.
Yeah, I'd probably rather talk about the home opener. That was, both of them were good. Obviously opening day started off the season 1-0, and that's what matters. But then obviously getting in front of the crowd in Detroit and then winning the first game too, especially in front of all those fans and kind of, give them something to, cheer for. That's kind of why you play the game, right? Fans, have a great impact in that, especially at home. So feed off the energy, feed off the fans, and give them something to come back the next day for. So that was a good thing that we also won that game.
talking to Tarek Skubal. So what is it about this month for you guys? Because the last couple of seasons, and I know that, you know, last April, for example, you were trying to get back on the mound, but there have been a couple of other years where you have been on the roster to start a season. But this particular year, you're here, but, you know, a couple of other seasons, the Tigers have been trying to get things in order to start seasons. And you know the old adage, you can't win a division in April, but you can certainly lose it. So what has it been about this particular April that has enabled you guys to get off to a really good start?
Yeah, I think we're just kind of playing complimentary baseball. You know, we can pitch. We've been putting ourselves in good situations, you know, timely hittings. We've been keeping ourselves in ball games and then, you know, giving the offense a chance to get going and always keep our, you know, our team in the game. And then we play great defense, too. So I think kind of just good baseball all around is kind of what's kept us in, you know, games. And then obviously that kind of shows the record. We've won a lot of close games. I feel like in years past we've lost those games. So obviously you don't want to play in a ton of close games every single night, but if we're winning them, who cares how they happen? You know, that's all that matters is winning games. So, you know, it feels like we're always in them too. You know, whether we're down three, whatever, late into a game, our offense comes alive and gives us a chance to win. So, you know, it's fun. It's fun. The brand of baseball we're playing right now is fun. We're never out of it. We're always confident that we can beat anybody on any given day. And, you know, that's what we show up to do. We show up to win today's game, and we're pretty bought in on that.
This also feels kind of homegrown. You know, I've seen you in the minor leagues for a long time, and I've watched you go up the chain, and I've seen guys like Matt Manning, and I've seen Reese Olson, and there's a lot of other players, whether it be the Parker Meadowses and the Riley Greens and the Spencer Torkelsons of the world, all come up alongside you. This has not been historically an organization that has produced a lot of young players, but right now it feels like more than ever, a lot of the young guys have all graduated up together and have been a big reason and the big reason why this has all happened. How cool is it to have all this kind of come up together and have all you guys being the reason that this has happened?
Yeah, I think, it's fun too. Like, we've played together through the minor leagues, we've grinded. Everybody that comes up, you know, Wenzel Perez just comes up. I played with him in, you know, 2018 short season and low A in West Michigan. So it's like he's coming up and he kind of gives us a spark. You know, he's got that fun, charismatic attitude and just loves to play baseball, and it's infectious, you know. So it's fun. I think it speaks volumes about the organization, the leadership, the development that we have, you know, all the way from the top all the way down through all the minor league stops. So yeah, I think that's what I'd credit it to. And, you know, we're a young team, and, you know, our lineup's very young, and that's exciting because there's a lot of talent there. And once those guys start hitting their strides, it's going to be a dangerous lineup, you know, 1 through 9. So, you know, it's fun. It's really fun.
What's the most important thing that can continue for you guys in order to keep you with this edge?
Yeah, I think if we just keep buying in on being ready to win today. I think if we can just keep stringing in together wins, winning series, winning weeks, I think that's how you have a winning season. I know AJ said that a ton, but it makes a ton of sense. And it's something that's like resonated with me is like, hey, that makes sense. We just need to win today's game. Don't get caught up with tomorrow's game. Let's just do what we can to win today's game. And then tomorrow when we show up, we'll do what we can to win tomorrow's game. You know, whether that, you know, however that happens, you know, and I think it makes a ton of sense. So if we just keep, you know, doing that and playing good baseball and playing our brand of baseball, you know, I like where we're at.
I know baseball is a business, but I've also heard that it is supposed to be fun. Are you guys having fun right now?
Yeah, I'm having fun. I mean, the business side of it is what it is, right? But I think our group is a ton of fun. You know, we get along. The clubhouse is always a good spot to be. You know, guys show up early just to hang out with each other, stay late just to hang out. So we got a special team. And I know that's probably been said and everyone's like, oh, everyone thinks they have a special team. I think it's a little bit different though with the group that we've got and kind of how much fun we can have at the yard.
Well, you guys certainly deserve it. Tarek, congratulations on a phenomenal first month. Continued success, and thank you very much for taking some time to join us. Tarek Skubal, Detroit Tigers starting pitcher. Appreciate you taking the time, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That is Tarek Skubal right here on The Huge Show.
Big, bad, huge.